Before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. She speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack, and if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. We bless you this evening. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is marriage seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie.
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We worship you. We honor you because you're just so awesome and omnipotent and just the primary focus in our lives. And Lord, I pray that today everybody had a good day. And if they didn't, Lord God, I pray that it'll just ease away because now the couples are in the process of getting into this word. And Lord, I pray for all marriages. Lord God, I pray to strengthen them. Lord God, I pray that you help them recognize that you have to be in the midst of their marriage, give them clarity, and give them guidance. And Father God, we don't take this as happenstance. We take this as an honor to be able to teach people tools and ideas that helped us throughout these almost 28 years of marriage. And I thank you for it, Lord. And we give it all back unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, as my wife just stated, in about 2 days, we will be celebrating 28 years of marriage. And you know, people often ask us, how have you two made it this far and still look like you actually enjoy each other?
Yes, they do. And our answer is always the same. It hasn't been our looks, our money, or even our ministry. The secret has been the power of priority.
That's right. You know, the Bible says, above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these important things will be given to you abundantly. See, we learned that early on that God has an order for marriage. It's God first, each other second, family third, and then everything else. And when you follow his order, things fall in place.
When you don't, though, things just fall apart, you know, and we've seen both in our own journey, but by God's grace, his order has carried us through every single season.
See, you've got to recognize God must be the first priority. I told you, the word says, seek first the kingdom of God. See, that's not a suggestion. It's the very foundation of marriage. See, you've got to recognize, see, so many people, we want to add God in as an accessory, you know, as an afterthought.
Yeah.
We want to run to God when we have a problem.
Yeah.
But it says, seek first the kingdom of God. So God has to be the very source of everything. It's got to be the foundation that you build your relationship upon. Mm-hmm. It's got to be everything.
And early in our marriage, we decided prayer together was not optional. So in other words, we planned to schedule prayer, and not having prayer in our marriage, that wasn't an option. So, you know, when we were exhausted from work, Lord knows we were overwhelmed with kids. Yes, we'd pray. Sometimes it was long, sometimes short, but we always invited God into the center of our home.
Yep. And it makes the difference, because when God is first, everything else finds its place. You remember Daniel and the Hebrew boys. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't bow to the culture. Mm-hmm. They put God first. And God honored them. You know, we saw that, you know, when they went into that fiery furnace, mm-hmm. they said, you know, they told the king. The king was like, you know, you're going to bow down to me, or I'm going to throw you in this furnace. They said, you know, whatever you decide to do, that's up to you.
Yeah.
But we're not going to bow down.
That's right.
You know, we're not going to change this. You know, and I remember for years preaching that scripture incorrectly. They were like, you know, people think that they were wavering in whether or not they believed. No, they were like, no, you can do whatever you want to do. Mm. But the fact of the matter is, that's not going to change our faith and our commitment in our God. Mm-hmm. Because our God will deliver us. Whether you throw us in or not, God's going to deliver us. It's not, well, if you throw us in, God might deliver us. No, there was never a question in their mind, because their faith and their trust was always in God, because they sought God first. Mm-hmm. They honored God, and because of that, God honored them.
And you think about how many couples bow down to the culture today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, couples, you need to listen to this. If you want a strong marriage, don't just invite God to the wedding. Mm. Invite him into the daily life of your marriage.
That is so important, because so many people spend so much time, energy, mm-hmm. effort, and money into the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They put so much planning and effort into the wedding, but they put so little effort into their marriage. And then they wonder why they cannot stay married. If you put half the effort into your marriage as you did the wedding.
Wow.
If you put half the investment, time, money, planning into your marriage as you did the wedding, the event, the day, the party, the celebration.
Decorations. I mean, you can go on and on.
As you did the actual relationship, the thing that's supposed to last forever, you would see much more success.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So your spouse must be the next priority.
Wow.
The next one. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. That means after God, your spouse comes first.
Oh, I need you to say that again.
That means after God, your spouse comes first.
Not your mama. Y'all heard me.
Say it.
Daddy's boys.
Yep.
I mean, mama's boys. Not your daddy, daddy's girls.
Not your sister, not your brother, not your cousin.
Not your homeboys.
Not your cousin. Not your girlfriends. I mean, we can go on and on. Yeah.
After God, your spouse comes next. Nobody else. I don't care how long you've known them. I don't care how close you are to them. After God, it's your spouse.
Yep.
See, y'all got to understand this. I have raised two wonderful, beautiful daughters with the understanding and absolute knowledge that both of them are daddy's girls to the core.
Yes.
That one day they're going to meet a young man,
mm-hmm.
and they're sad that that is the man that God sent them, and that they're going to have to leave me, and he's going to have to become their priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have no problem with that.
Yep.
Because that's the way of the Lord.
Nine.
Otherwise, it would be out of order.
Yep.
I would be expecting their marriage to fail and expecting them to have to come back to my house.
Hmm. Wow. And there's no intrusion either on the way of the Lord. And no intrusion in coming back to you because you are the voice, the second voice that they hear.
Exactly. So. And so we have to understand that. And so you have to understand how important this is, because people think, well, that's my mama. You know, get this, please, fellas and ladies, because we got some fellas. You might have grown up in this, grown up in a single parent household, and you were only child, and so you've always been all she had. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. She got the Lord now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She always has had him, and she got him now. Yeah. But if you've chosen to take on a wife, then now your wife has to become your priority. Your mother can no longer be your priority, and she needs to understand that if your marriage is going to be successful. Yeah. That's facts.
Yeah.
We might as well go there. I might as well help y'all.
They'll get over it.
I got to help y'all understand this, how serious this is, because some people are like, well, you don't understand, Pastor. Oh, yes, I do. See, because I was the youngest of three, and I was the baby boy. And see, I have an older sister, and I have a mother. And my sister at the time, when I met my wife, was a single mother. And so my sister, I used to spoil my sister, and I always used to love on my mother. So both of them were used to having me treat them a certain way. And so when I met my wife, of course, that priority had to shift.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in their feelings about it. Let's be honest. They felt a type of way, as the young folks say. And guess what? Oh. I had to make that clear to them. I have a wife now. And so you need to understand that's how that is. And so they got upset. They stopped talking to me for a season, but I said, okay, that's fine. You'll get over it.
Looked at me side-eyed. No, yeah. I'm joking.
I said, yeah, you'll get over it. I said, because this is my wife.
Yeah, you sure did.
What do you say, Pat? Yes, I told my mother that and my sister that. Because the bottom line is, according to God's word, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his spouse.
Yeah.
Ladies, I'm not going to leave you out of this. Because although it says a man should leave his mother and father, it's talking about manhood right there. It's talking about mankind right there. So it's not just talking about the man.
Yeah.
There was a season where my father-in-law and my mother-in-law had become separated. And my mother-in-law were actually living with us. And so there was
for three
and a half years. And they were having some intense moments.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and my father-in-law were having some conversations, and he was stressing her out. And so I had to intervene. And he didn't like that. And so one night he's talking to my wife on the phone, and he's getting upset with her. And he told her, and your husband. And my wife told him, said, wait a minute. That's my husband. And you need to respect my husband. And he was like, well, I'm your daddy. She said, I don't care who you are. If you can't respect my husband, then don't call my house. See, because I was her priority. And she was a daddy's girl. She was the youngest of three and the only girl. So you have to understand, next to God, your spouse must become your next priority. Yes. Let me say this. As a husband, my wife is not competing with my job, my ministry, or even my kids. She is my number two, right after God. And that order has given her security in our relationship.
That is so good right there.
She is, as a pastor, she's never had to compete with the church. She's never felt like she was second fiddle to my job, and never with my children. I told my children, I married a dime and y'all not going to leave me with a nickel. Because I told you, even though I had two beautiful babies, baby girls that I raised and I spoiled them rotten, as the folks say, I knew one day they going to up and leave me for somebody else. And so why would I put her behind them and then have to try to gain her back after I done mistreated her for them and they end up leaving me for somebody else? Oh, you better get the understanding. Yeah. That's why your spouse has to be your second priority after God.
Yep. And in return, I've learned to respect and honor him. You know, that doesn't mean I never disagreed. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, because we have moments where we do disagree.
Absolutely.
But it does mean I choose, and I'm going to say that, ladies, I choose, it's a choice, to honor his role and his heart. And to honor someone is to give some weight to it. And in order for our mission to be successful, you know, and me being submitted under the mission of the Tuckers, you know, I have to honor and put weight on his role and his heart, knowing that his heart isn't to hurt me. You know, his role is to move the family forward. And marriage, y'all, it isn't about keeping score. You know, I did this when you were, I did this when you were. I mean, come on now. You're supposed to be a partnership. And it's about keeping a covenant. Because God don't keep score with us. The Lord don't keep score with us. So we shouldn't keep score with each other.
Wow. Marriage isn't about keeping score. It's about keeping covenant.
Covenant. Yeah.
You might want to write that down. You might want to put that somewhere so that you can remember that. You might need to print that out, put that in the mirror, put that on the refrigerator to keep you all mindful of that, especially if you all have a relationship where you all are constantly bickering and back and forth and biting at each other, because that's part of the problem. Marriage is not about keeping score. It's about keeping covenant. It's about sustaining the relationship. It's about sustaining the promise that you made to God to treat each other right. Mm-hmm. And if you're constantly keeping score, then you're breaking the promise you made to God, not to one another, but the promise you made to God. Wow. See, husbands, you are called to love sacrificially. Wives, you are called to respect. Both take intentionality with that. You've got to make up in your mind that I have to intentionally do what God called me to do. I understand my calling and I live to sacrifice for my wife. You ask her everything I do before she can ask me for anything. I've already done it.
From a bottle of creamer to oil in the van. I mean, you know,
it doesn't matter. Before she can even get the words on her mouth, I have already done it. I have already prepared it. Before she can look for something, it's already there. Because my job as her husband is to love sacrificially. My job is to anticipate her needs. That's how I live my life.
And can I bring up this little simple example? So my husband knows that I like these little miniature pickles, right? And I was having the hardest time trying to get the cap off. And I was like, I'm not going to ask him. Till finally I was like, you know, I want some pickles. Do you think you can open up? He said, already taken care of. I said, well, thank you. You know, and I rolled over there and was able to open it up with no problem. But, you know, simple things, you know, take intentionality. You have to be able to recognize, you know, what each other needs, how each other needs one another, and be intentional. And I had to respect him over a simple pickle jar because I respected him because he thought about my need before I did.
And see, that's the thing. Like you said, when you love somebody sacrificially, you're always thinking, how can I lay down my life for them? What can I do to make their life better?
Yeah.
I was upstairs putting some things together, and I could hear her downstairs struggling with that jar. And when I came downstairs and walked past the jar, I loosened the top on the jar and just closed it back up and just left it sitting on the counter. And I just kept walking. I didn't even say anything. I just did it because I had heard her struggling with the jar when I was upstairs.
Not that I was yelling, y'all. I think it was just the grunt trying to get it open. And then you know how you use a heavy instrument to try to pop the seal loose? Yeah. I guess he might have been worried I was going to break the jar.
But like you said, you're always concerned about making their life better.
Yeah.
But it's just simple things. It's the simple things. Like you said, the fact of the matter, every time I go in the refrigerator, and like I said, I know she drinks coffee every day. I go in the refrigerator. If I go to get something, I check the creamer bottle. If I see where it is, if it's halfway, I go ahead and order another one because I know by the end of the week, she's going to need another bottle of creamer. And so before she can even ask me, there's another bottle of creamer in there. She'll go, can you order me some creamer? I said, it's another already one already done. In the refrigerator.
She's already done. Yep.
Because that's how I operate. Mm-hmm. Because my job is to lay down my life for her.
And because he does that, that makes me want to reciprocate. That makes me want to do things to honor and respect him. And I mean, simple things as folding his shirts a certain way, you know, or, you know, making sure his side of the, you know, men and women's sink is clean. You know, just those little things with our love languages, quote unquote. So...
See, when we prioritize each other, it creates a wellspring of strength.
It does.
It makes your relationship stronger. See, and next, you prioritize family and ministry, work in that order. Mm. It must follow in order. Now, here's where couples often get it wrong. After God and your spouse comes your family, then your work and your ministry, mm-hmm. or ministry and work. Mm-hmm. See, we've seen married couples crumble because ministry or career came before marriage. Mm-hmm. And here's the truth. God never called you to sacrifice your marriage on the altar of ministry or success.
Nope.
Oh, I think I need to say that again. God never called you to sacrifice your marriage or your family on the altar of ministry or success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, because so many people are out here building ministries and sacrificing their families and their marriages at the cost of it. So many people out here are building careers and saying they're doing it for their families, but their families hate them behind it.
Wow. And you probably don't find that stuff out till later on in life when your children actually become adults and they share that with you. You can smack you right in the face.
Your children are adults. They don't want to spend any time with you. Mm-hmm. Your children are grown and now your wife wants to leave because she's tired of it because she has dealt with it. Oh, you got plenty of money in the bank, but now you're sitting there and now you're by yourself because you've been telling yourself you're doing this for them. Mm-hmm. And all they wanted was you.
Was you. That's right. That's right.
See, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice he prioritized his household before his leadership role.
That's good. Yep.
See, you've got to understand, it's everything was built. You got to look at the order. God first brought Eve to Adam. So he ordained marriage first.
First.
And then they had children. Mm-hmm. And out of then he birthed ministry. The church was born out of the family.
Yeah.
So you can't say that you were called to the church and then sacrifice your family or your marriage. Because even to even lead a ministry, the first thing he says, he's got to be a husband of one wife. And he must manage his own household well. Mm-hmm. So in order to be qualified for ministry, you've got to first have a healthy marriage and a healthy family.
Yeah.
And so if that goes for ministry, it says about everybody else likewise. So if that's how it flows from the head down, it's the same thing for your career.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to understand that. This is God's order.
Yeah. And when our children were little, we had to learn how to say no to some things, even good things, so we could say yes to the best things. A healthy home makes for a healthy ministry.
Wow.
And I really believe that's why Pastor Tuck could do all the things that he's done thus far and continue to do, because we had a healthy home.
Absolutely. See, because if your family and your marriage are not healthy, I don't care what your ministry looks like, it'll eventually fall. It'll eventually destroy your ministry. And otherwise, if you don't steward those things properly, your ministry will eventually destroy your marriage and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You've got to be mindful of these things.
And in some, you know, God's provision, you know, God provides in everything. He provides in a healthy home and an unhealthy home, and he can change an unhealthy home. But the issue is you got to follow God's priorities. You know, whatever standard God presents and God puts forward, we have to be able to follow them. And in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you chase things, you wear yourself out. You sure do. If you chase after money, or you chase after notoriety, or, you know, if you chase after somebody putting your name down in a book instead of the book, you can wear yourself out. What good would you be to your marriage?
No. And see, but when you chase God, blessings chase you. One thing about it, you know, I have never sought after the things. I've never made it my business trying to seek after this promotion, that promotion, seek after this raise, that raise. I've never done any of that. I made it my business to seek after the things God desired.
Yeah.
I put my children, my marriage, and my family first. And when I honored the things God honored me. Even before I went into ministry. Because people are like, oh, Pastor, you're a pastor, you don't understand. No, I'm going to tell you, this happened before I started in ministry.
Yeah.
When my wife and I were married, and I had a job, I always honored my wife before my job. Anytime my job wanted me to do something, I checked with her. And if she wasn't happy with it, I just told them straight up, no, I'm not doing this. When I made a choice, career choice, and I remember I had taken a job at one point because I was doing what I wanted to do, and it didn't seem like it was going to be a healthy situation for my family going forward. And at that time, we didn't even have children. I just saw God just spoke to me. And I wasn't even actually saved at that point. But it was the first time I heard God's voice clearly. But God told me that this was not a healthy situation for my family going forward. Mm. And so even though it was a negative career-wise, I actually was going backwards. I was actually going to have to go and take less money. I was actually going to have to go backwards. Career-wise, I did what God said do. And because of that, I rescinded the job, went back to my old job, had to go back to my old salary. And that year, my wife got pregnant, and we ended up starting a family.
Yeah.
But during that year, I got saved. And then we had a child. And so then even my old job started to put pressures on me that were not
realistic,
beneficial for my family. And so at that point, I said, okay, God, this isn't good for my family. And so when I put that before God, God gave me an opportunity to take another job, which I wasn't qualified for, and ended up getting a huge raise. Mm-hmm. And so then I got that job, and I worked that job for about 9 months. And then that job was asking me to do things that wasn't good for my family. And I say, okay, God, this is the reason why you put me here. And now they're going against that as well.
Yeah.
And this is not good for my family. And God gave me an opportunity to take another job and got another huge raise. And so in the course of a year, my salary, I mean, grew exponentially, almost doubled in the course of a year. And God, and I'm like, this is amazing. And I was still going home every day with my family every day, able to do exactly what I wanted to do. And it was never about me, oh, I got to go out here and I got to push for this, push for that, push for this, push for that. And God put me in a position where I was able to do everything I wanted to do for my family, be there for my family, love on my family, be the man of God he desired me to be for my family. And he gave me everything that he desired for me to have. Yeah. Because when you seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing things, all these things will be added. And that's exactly the scripture I stood on. I said, God, this is what you said in your word. And God said, that's exactly what I said. And that's exactly what I'll do.
Yeah.
And then he called me to ministry. And then I started in ministry. And I'm in ministry, and then the job started giving me trouble about being in ministry, and God said, leave the job. And I'm like, the ministry couldn't compensate me the way the job could, but God said, do you trust me to take care of you, or do you trust the job?
And he didn't even discuss it with me, you know, but because he was following God, recognizing that God was the provider in all situations, and followed the godly path, I was able to say, okay, I trust you. Now, yeah, it was a shock when he told me he did that, but I didn't sit there and berate him, belittle him, or, you know, do anything that was out of order, because really I supported whatever he did. Why? Because he supports me.
And that's the thing, because I have always loved her sacrificially, because I've always shown her that I was following God, she was able to trust me as I trusted God. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I have not worked a job in over 20 years. We've walked out in ministry.
Yeah.
We continued to walk that path until the day her job started causing her issues. Mm-hmm. And she was upset. And I told her, and God told me, bring her home.
Yeah, she.
And she hasn't been back. And God continues to take care of us. See, because that's the thing. God's provision follows God's priorities.
Yeah, that's good.
See, because when you chase God, the blessings chase you. See, we've seen God provide financially, spiritually, emotionally, not because we hustled harder, but because we put him and each other in the right place.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes the greatest blessing isn't money. It's peace.
Oh my God.
It's unity. It's waking up every day, still choosing each other. Even if you had an intense moment of fellowship, I still choose him, you know, not choose who can talk me out of the situation, or choose with someone that's going to agree with me. No, you know, I choose each day with him. And peace is so very important. Chaos is not.
And we can say after 28 years that I would marry her every day, all day, and twice on Sundays. Because God's way really does work. We are absolutely 100% head over heels in love with each other all day, every day. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor, this has not been our reality. And we don't know how to fix it. Well, here's how you can live this out. You first have to begin by making God the first priority. Mm-hmm. Pray together daily. Mm-hmm. Even if it's 5 minutes before you go to bed. And make church and the word non-negotiable. Yep. See, you've got to make a commitment. We're going to make God the center of this because that's how we got off track in the first place. Mm. We had God as an accessory, and now we've got to make God the center. Yeah. We've got to make God the foundation. We've got to make his word the standard.
Yep.
Next, begin to prioritize each other. Schedule intentional time together. Put date nights and check-ins on the calendar. Just like you do anything else, like you do doctor's appointments, like you do business meetings, put it on the calendar so that you don't forsake it. Make it important. Show one another that you are important to me and I'm important to you. Then guard your family time fiercely.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Even before your work or your ministry. Remember, first and foremost, that your first and most important assignment is to your home.
Yeah.
The church can find another pastor.
They sure can.
Your company can hire another person to do what you do.
Yep.
But your family will suffer without you.
Jesus.
Trust me, if you die today, they will write your obituary. They will have your job description written before they write your obituary. And no matter what, always ask, does this decision honor God and strengthen our marriage?
Yeah.
See, when you do those things, you're going to start to see a shift in your household. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a shift in your relationship because you start to put God's priorities first.
That's right. Okay, so as always, homework, y'all. Homework, yay. Make a list of your top 5 priorities and compare with your spouse and realign to put God first. So, you know, what are your top 5 priorities? One of our priorities is peace, you know, peace in our home. And the way we realign things, if things aren't peaceful, is to get back in line with God, get back, listen to some word, get in our scriptures, and recognize when each other's off. Then the next thing you can do is write down 3 ways you feel most loved or respected. Exchange lists and practice at least 1 this week. I mean, that's an easy thing. 3, that's it. And pick 1, not all 3. So sit down and review your weekly schedule together and rearrange it to reflect God's order. All right, I'm going to go back to that again. Sit down and review your weekly schedule together and rearrange it to reflect God's order. So many times we've seen couples that have been so busy. They are really tied up with the kids, they're tied up with organizations, they're tied up with work. They are literally like ships passing in the night.
Yep.
And because of that, God's order gets out of order. It gets out of order because when anything you put before God is not in order. You know what I mean?
You know something that's so funny to me sometimes? It's not even funny. It's sad, really. But sometimes we'll call some of our friends and may ask them, you know, about doing something. And you'll talk to one, you'll talk to the husband or to the wife, and they'll be like, well, I need to talk to them and find out what they're doing. That the fact that they literally don't know what each other is doing.
That's right. And I mean, there's all kind of systems. You can do it with kids. You can do it with your spouse. You can have an erase board calendar. You can have sticky notes. But if you don't take the time to look at it and the time to discuss it, how are you going to know what to do?
And it's one thing, you know, Pastor Stephanie and I may have to confer with each other to make sure that we, that there's not something that we may have not have missed.
Yeah.
That, you know, it may not be something on the calendar that she may not be aware of or something another. But mm-hmm. we talked to a couple of something and they literally don't know what the other person has going on.
Nope. Nothing.
And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Y'all just don't even talk to each other.
Nope.
Mm. Remember, provision follows priorities.
Yes.
So pray before major financial or family decisions.
As a matter of fact, you should, you know, start praying together over every financial and family decision. Pray together so that you can come on one accord, asking if it strengthens your marriage and honors God. So, you know, after 28 years, we're living proof that God's order works. And, you know, I'm thankful that I was able to recognize and embrace the order of God. I might have seen it, but I've seen it in ways that weren't healthy. But I thank the Lord that I'm in a healthy marriage, to where I can follow God and I can trust God, that God is in my husband, and trust my husband to love and provide for me.
You got to remember, put God first,
mm-hmm.
marriage second, family third, everything else last.
Yeah.
That's our secret. And when you align with God's priorities, you don't have to chase provision or success. It will literally chase you.
Yeah. And can I say one thing? You know, when your priorities are off and you focus on something, you might not be able to, like, articulate it, but if you're constantly thinking about it, like something that happened at work or something this, that, and other, you're still disconnected. You know, your spouse wants to be in time, now time with you, but you can't because your brain is tired from thinking. And, you know, I've read somewhere where if anybody, for example, puts work ahead of their marriage, more intentional toward work, it's almost like adultery. You know, your mind is basically, or your thoughts are having an affair, if you will, with your job. You know, something's wrong with that, so...
As the old song used to say, your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to leave you all with something, because we're telling you how we made it.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have work to do, have a lot of work to do. And so I want to give you some tools.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to write this down. You may have to go back and watch this again and pause this so that you can write these down. But I'm going to give you some discussion questions that to have a conversation with your spouse, to sit down and talk these things through with your spouse, to give you some places that you can start to dig in and figure out where you all need to work on. And so write these down and get these so that you can have some things that you all can work on.
Yeah.
One, what's been the hardest distraction to keeping God first in our marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, these are going to require you all to do some thinking, some talking, and some things that you're going to have to actually figure out. If you're going to make some, if you truly, honestly want to make these corrections, it's going to require you to do some soul searching.
Yeah.
Some introspection into both of you guys,
mm-hmm.
and to actually figure out to make some course correction.
That's right.
Two, how do you show your spouse they're second only to God?
Yep.
Three, what adjustments can you make to balance family, work, and ministry better?
Mm-hmm.
Number four, have you ever placed something above your marriage, and how did it affect your relationship? Trust me, this is going to be some tough conversations. Mm-hmm. These are going to be some tough conversations. Mm-hmm. Number five, in what ways has God shown up
yeah.
when you kept him first? Mm-hmm.
Individually and collectively.
Yes.
Man.
And number six, what's one step you'll take this week to realign your marriage priorities with God's order?
Just one.
Now, if you get, like I said, you start putting these things to work, this is going to make you all start to be intentional
mm-hmm.
about making some shifts.
Yeah.
And recognizing where there are issues mm-hmm. that you can correct that are going to put you on the path to having a stronger marriage. Because I'm telling you, and this is coming from somebody who's been married 28 years, and we don't regret a day.
Not a day.
Not a day. And we have seen some things. We've gone through some hardships.
Yeah.
Hardships of life, not yes. hardships of marriage.
No. Of life.
Hardships things. Of marriage, yeah. of life. We've dealt with things. We've raised two children. We have done ministry for 22 years.
I'm tired. I'm tired.
I mean, we've had careers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've taken care of parents.
Yes.
Ailing parents.
Jesus.
We've done all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still sitting here happily married, enjoying the peace and love of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we did it the way he said do it. So I'm telling you, don't let nobody tell you, oh, marriage is this, marriage is that. No.
No.
When you do marriage the way God intended, because ooh. God created, everything God created was good.
Yes.
And yeah. God intended it to be good.
Good.
So if it ain't good, it's because you ain't doing it the way he said do it. And that's facts.
What he said.
So we're just trying to give you the tools.
Yep.
But we pray you've been blessed by this. Mm-hmm. And if you've been blessed by our ministry, by the marriage seer training or any of our ministries here at my church, Virtual Networks, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can help us by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Lynchburg, or you can go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. We have all kinds of ministry programs on this channel. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Women of Worth. We've got the Man Cave. We got Marriage Seer Training. We've got the Heart of the Pastor. We've got Medicine for the Mind.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday mornings, we've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash.
Yeah.
We've got all kinds of faith-based content. Mm-hmm. And God has called us to make sure that the Word of God is available in the body of Christ. And so that's not any small feat. So if you want to help us to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel. But in any event, God bless you. We love you. Make sure you share this word with somebody you know who needs it, because yes. You know somebody who needs it. God bless you. We love you.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. And stay tuned for our announcements. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Peace.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you. Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision.
You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
It's, that's right. You know.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.